gamblers and gamblers. Josh Rosenthal here. You know the deal. Thanks for rating, subscribing, and reviewing. Check us out on IG at Rambling and Gambling and email me, ramblingandgamblingpodcast@gmail.com. Good one today. Fun one today. Lots of picks today. We've got Neil Greenberg, covers the sports analytics beat for the Washington Post. We talk bets for this week's slate of NFL games, why he would rather be called a geek than a nerd. It's a strong preference. Get into a little bit of Max Scherzer to the Mets talk. And first up, get a load of who personally approved Neil's job, in a way, over the post. Here he is, Neil Greenberg. Neil, I recently heard you on Ed Fang's podcast. I love Ed. He was on this pod last week, actually. And I mention it because he got this great story out of you. You started full-time at the Post in part because Jeff Bezos, the billionaire owner of the Post, personally approved your job. Is that right?
Well, from what it sounds like, there was a lot of openings that were requested by the newsroom. And, you know, he's certainly had to set a budget for them. So, yeah, I mean, I was one of the slots that opened up as a result of, you know, having more resources to expand the newsroom. And, you know, it ended up, you know, it was something that I was lobbying the Washington Post as a freelancer for a while, you know, showing, you know, letting them know that I could do other sports. And they were always interested in it. It just, you know, like with any newsroom, there's only a finite amount of resources and, you know, it had to be judiciously allocated. So, but yeah, it ended up working out for me. And, you know, I've been there ever since.
Let's go back a little bit further because you had already been freelancing for the Post, largely because you were already writing hockey analytic stuff on your own, right?
Yeah, that's correct. So I was just writing stuff for myself, just, you know, trying to put some ideas out, get them out of my head. And, you know, it ended up that it caught the eye of one of the sports editors there at the time. She's no longer there, but she was there at the time. And she got in touch with me and asked me if I was interested in contributing an article a week about the Washington Capitals. And, you know, for me, it was great. It was a great chance to contribute to obviously a legendary publication and, you know, to get my work out there. So, you know, I jumped at the chance and it ended up working out really well. And that actually led to another gig with ESPN.
In part because of a Twitter beef with an editor, right?
Yeah. So someone on Twitter was talking about Alex Ovechkin versus some of the New York Rangers defensemen. And I had some thoughts on the subject and I let those be known. I had a lot of information at the time and I bombarded this poor guy with some information. Like it was just, what about this? What about this? And then look at this. And then here's this. And it ended up that I got an email like a short time after. And he said, hey, do you want to write this up for ESPN? And I was like, he was the NHL editor for ESPN at the time, Mike Hume. And, you know, luckily for me, I spent a couple years freelancing for ESPN. Mike Hume was my editor. Then I got the job at the Washington Post full time. And then he was brought on as an editor to the Washington Post, I think a couple months later. So we've been working together almost uninterrupted since 2010. He's now my editor at the Washington Post as well. It's fortunate. It's great. Worked out for me. But, you know, I think if we look back on it, I was probably a little bit of a jerk. But, you know, it was, you know. Good for him for recognizing that it was worthy of, you know, a little bit more than just a Twitter battle.
Hey, if it works, it works. Before we get into your analysis of specific games, Neil, I want to give listeners an idea of how you analyze the games. If I'm not mistaken, you're big on modeling and forecasting, and that kind of dovetails with your previous experience, I believe, in equity trading. Is that right?
Yeah, I was involved in equity trading for a while in the I guess early mid 90s to 2000s. So I'm always looking at, you know, my background is in, like you said, just, you know, looking at what something is doing today, trying to forecast that out, whether it's you know, minutes, days, hours, years. And you know, the tenants that are involved in, you know, stock valuation can be ported over to player valuation, to team valuation. You know, you're really just looking for the signal through the noise and try to figure out, you know, what's really important.
Neil, let's do some week 13 lines. I'm going to give you a game,
sure,
some odds, then just take it absolutely anywhere you want to go. We don't have to spend a ton of time on each game. There's no pressure to make a pick or anything like that. Just give me whatever you want to give me. We'll do 5 games total, and all of these lines are from FanDuel as of early Tuesday afternoon. First up, New England at Buffalo. Bills laying 3, over-unders 43.5. This is the Monday nighter for first place in the AFC East. The Bills are 7-4, just got a win over the Saints. Pats 8-4. They've now won and covered in 6 straight, beating Tennessee, Atlanta, Cleveland, Carolina, the Chargers, the Jets, by a combined 148 points. It's a lot. They're winning these games by about 25 apiece. Neil, what do you think?
I think this is going to be a pretty good defensive battle. They're two of the best defenses that are out there. Football Outsiders, which adjusts efficiency for strength of schedule, has Bills number 1, Patriots number 2. So knowing that, I jumped on the under almost as soon as it opened. I have an under 45.5. I think it's since moved down to 43.5. So I do think we're going to see a low scoring game. I also know that Bills lost their cornerback, Tre'Davious White. That's going to be tough for them. That's going to be a hole that you really just can't fill. So I think New England will be able to take advantage of that. I think New England's run game is strong as well. I do like New England in this, if forced to pick a side, but I do think the total is the way to go. I think it's going to be a low scoring game.
For people who didn't already catch the total, would you still recommend taking it at 43.5?
Yeah, it's probably as low as I would go, though. I mean, you know, you're talking about like 21-20, 21-19, something like that. Is certainly within the realm of possibility. I mean, I do think that if you can get the Patriots, you know, plus 3, that might be good. My guess is you're going to have to pay for that, though, because I think it kind of bounced up there and then was immediately bet down. But that would be my recommendation for this. Like I said, I don't have a wager on the side, but I do have the under right now.
Okay, I like it. It feels like a good time to mention Super Bowl odds. Right now, 9 teams, including these two, that's why I'm bringing it up now, have odds of 12-1 or shorter. Neil, let me know if any of this jumps out at you. Tampa, plus 550. KC, 7-1. Green Bay, plus 750. Both the Bills and Arizona, 8-1. Baltimore and the Pats, 11-1. Rams and the Cowboys, 12-1. Anything jump out at you?
The Patriots, for sure. I mean, you look at you know, look at where the Patriots are and look at where Baltimore is, and they have the same, they're being offered at the same odds, right? I mean, you know, Baltimore was lucky to get out of that game the other night. They were lucky to beat the Bears without Lamar Jackson. They have a couple of other one possession, one score wins on there. They could easily have 2 or 3 fewer wins than they do on their ledger. So I would say, you know, at double digits right now, I think the Patriots are probably one of the most consistent teams that we've seen, certainly as of late. I mean, you know, the Colts have kind of imploded. The Titans have imploded. The Bills certainly do not look nearly as good as they had been early on. We talked about Baltimore. The Bucks have been kind of the favorite this whole time, so they don't really have too much value. The Chiefs have been, you know, even when they were going through their struggles, were really not lowered too much in anticipation of them turning it around, and they kind of have with their defense. But, you know, I think, you know, Baltimore's really been the most consistent team that we've seen over the past couple of weeks. So, you know, at double digit odds out of that group, I would say that they have the most value.
Can you imagine if we end up getting a Pats Bucks Super Bowl, the insanity that would be?
You know, they're talking about that now. I mean, Football Outsiders has that as the most likely Super Bowl matchup this year. And I know ESPN was a lot lower, but they actually just said that there may have been an error in the calculation, so that might even go up. But it, I guess it makes some sense, right? I mean, in the NFC, you have Green Bay and Arizona kind of at the front, and then you have the Bucks very close behind. I know a lot of people aren't believers in Arizona yet, right? They were the last undefeated team. They still weren't getting much respect, for myself included. I thought the underlying numbers were a little soft. You know, why not? I mean, if they're able to, you know, to get the top seed, that certainly helps. Same thing can be said for Green Bay and Arizona. But, you know, the NFC is not particularly difficult. I mean, aside from the Packers, if they're healthy, and Arizona, who else are you really worried about, you know, in terms of dealing with in the, you know, in the playoffs? I mean, right now, Washington is in the playoffs, right? They're not a particularly worrisome team.
Yeah.
Neither would be the NFC East division winner. So there's really just not that much there that you have to worry about. So that makes a little bit of sense to me that the Bucs would be thought of so high.
You mentioned Football Outsiders, like in the Pats. I actually have a nice little Patriots to make the playoffs ticket because Aaron Schatz recommended it highly on this podcast during one of our season previews. So thank you, Aaron. That one's looking good. Denver at KC. KC given 10, over under 47.5. This is a Sunday nighter, so some good primetime games this weekend. Also, kind of a sneaky good divisional matchup. The Broncos, just one game behind the Chiefs for first place in the AFC West. They're 6-5, just beat the Chargers. I'll throw this one out there. According to Action Network, Teddy Bridgewater now 26-8 against the spread as an underdog over the course of his career. Yeah. Meanwhile, Chiefs sitting at 7-4. They're coming off a bye, but had won four straight before that against the Cowboys, Raiders, Packers, and Giants. And during that stretch, they allowed 17 or fewer points in each game. Not bad for a team with some question marks on the defensive side of the ball, Neil.
Yeah, I have an under here as well. I jumped on the under 49.5 pretty much when it came out. And the Kansas City defense is a reason why. I mean, they've gotten a lot better over the past couple weeks than they were. They were a disaster for the first 7 weeks. And then they have since turned it around. The point spread's a little bit worrisome. You know, the Chiefs minus 10, I think it's down 9.5. That's a lot. That's a lot to give up, you know, especially in a defensive matchup that might be low scoring. You know, Denver is not going to light you on fire, but you know, what if the Chiefs run is short lived and they revert back to where they were, or they have some trouble, you know, next thing you know, maybe the Broncos are leading at the half or something. You know, that's certainly something worth considering. So I do like this as from a defensive standpoint, a lower scoring game, definitely, for me, at least. I said under 50, I think probably under 47 would be my cutoff here. I like the way that Kansas City's trending. I'm just not sure I'm ready to bet on it continuing just yet.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you at all. Ravens given 3.5 in Pittsburgh, over under 44. Steelers 5-5-1, just lost to the Bengals. Ravens 8-3, knocked off the Browns last week. I will mention they have not put a ton of points on the board recently. This includes a game without Lamar, but in the Ravens' last three games, they scored 16, 16, and 10 points, Neil.
Yeah. As bad as the Ravens are, I would not put a nickel on the Pittsburgh Steelers right now. I think that they are way worse than they look on paper. They're 27th in yards per play, 29th in net yards per play, 30th in net success rate. Those are plays that either move the chain, score a touchdown, you know, do something good. And they're 31st in early down success rate, Pittsburgh is. So I think Pittsburgh, how they were favored in any game recently is shocking to me. I think the Ravens can probably get away with more than a field goal. I wouldn't go up much higher than that key number of 3. But I think if this somehow drifts back down to minus 2.5, that for me would be a great signal to take the Ravens and lay the points. I have no belief in Pittsburgh at all.
Random stat I'll throw out there for the listeners. This is from NFL Research. Last week, Lamar threw 4 interceptions, all while targeting Mark Andrews. He's the 4th quarterback in the last 25 years to do that. The other three, Eli targeting Hakeem Nicks, Luke McCown targeting Mike Thomas, not Michael Thomas, this is Mike Thomas, and Mark Sanchez targeting Braylon Edwards. How do you like that?
You do not want to be in a list with Mark Sanchez. That much I know. Maybe I'm not like a football genius, but I do know that you don't want to be on that list.
Neil, should we do the home team around here? We're both DC guys.
Sure, why not?
All right, Washington at Las Vegas. Raiders laying 2.5, over under 49.5. Raiders 6-5, got a pretty decent win against the Cowboys last week. And by the way, this is kind of another team that's hanging around. They're only one game behind the Chiefs in the AFC West, tied with the Chargers and Broncos. The WFTs, well, they would be in the playoffs if the season ended today, which is just nuts. They're 5-6. Just beat the Seahawks on Monday Night Football and are now the winners of three straight. Pretty crazy Monday Night Football game there too, Neil.
Yeah, I think, you know, Washington's another team, defensive improvement. I mean, they've played well the past couple of weeks. The run game has certainly improved. They're definitely running the ball more and they're running more effectively. That all should do well against the Raiders. I don't necessarily think the Raiders are, going to stop anybody with any sort of regularity. So I know that the Raiders opened up at 2.5 and then they kind of drifted a little bit to 3. I think I would take Washington +3. I think that +2.5 again under the key number makes me a little weary, but it certainly also wouldn't surprise me if Washington won this outright. So my feeling is if you really think Washington has a solid chance at this, probably just bet them on the money line and just get much better odds than you would, you know, hemming and hawing for a field goal.
We talked about how Washington would be the 7th seed in the playoffs if the season ended today. Well, if you want to bet that they will hold on and play in the postseason, FanDuel is offering the bet at +360 right now, and they're -500 to miss the playoffs. What do you think of those odds, Neil?
I think the odds are good. I mean, I think their odds do that, and I would even say if their odds to win the division are like over 10-1, that's probably another good, from a wagering standpoint, it's a decent value. My guess is they're probably like at +900 or so, but even +900, you probably want to consider it. Here's the thing with Washington that definitely plays in their favor. They have 5 division games to end the season. So their divisional destiny is certainly in their control, right? I mean, they still have they can catch up on Dallas. They can certainly keep pace with Philadelphia. They're able to play both those teams twice. And, we could be looking at a much different divisional picture in a couple weeks. So, I don't think if the odds get any worse, that means that they're completely out, right? So, I mean, if you're really a believer in this Washington team, it's really now or never, because it's only going to take one game to tip the scale where they could see themselves very close to the favorites.
They're +950. I just looked it up. So a little better than 9-1 to win the NFC East.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, again, it all depends on what your expectations are. If you think, they have a good chance of staying in this position, then it's probably worth a bet. I personally think that they have a better chance to win the division and make the playoffs that way than they do to hang on with the wild card. Because if they're winning, they're beating divisional opponents, they should be able to lock up the division. And if they lose, even 2 of those games, it probably makes it very difficult. And I could see another team like Minnesota passing them. So for me, I would definitely take roll the dice on the division. You're getting better odds, more lucrative odds, I should say, higher odds for higher risk, obviously. But I just think that it's correlated more with the path that they have, and that's winning games against divisional opponents probably gives them the division.
That makes a lot of sense. I like the logic there. Chargers at Cincy. Bengals, a lot of people's team du jour right now. They are laying 3 at home, over under 50.5. Chargers, just mentioned, 6-5, lost last week to the Broncos. They would, however, also be in the playoffs. If the season ended today, they would barely squeak into the 7th spot via a tiebreaker over the Raiders. Obviously, it's going to change a ton, just like Washington's going to change a ton in the NFC. But I do think this is a good thing to keep tabs on. Cincy, 7-4. They're a game behind the Ravens in the AFC North. They've won two in a row, beating the Steelers and Raiders. And I should mention, congratulations to Bengals backers. They just became the second team to cash a preseason win total ticket. They just went over 6.5 wins. And by the way, we talked about this last week. The Cards were the first team to go over their season win total. Neil, this is the last game we're going to go in depth on. What do you think?
I think that it's a great spot for Joe Mixon. He'll be going against the Chargers run defense, which is one of the worst in the NFL. Whether you look at Football Outsiders has him as the worst, Pro Football Focus has him as the ninth worst. Not only is Joe Mixon, you know, on a heater, 8 touchdowns in his last 5 games, almost like 290 rushing yards over his last 2 games. This Chargers defense, I don't think is going to be able to stop him. I think that actually also plays well for the under, because I think that you'll see a lot of running plays from Cincy eating up the clock, probably less, less possessions to go around in terms of scoring. I do like the Bengals on the side. I also like the under a little bit, but I think Joe Mixon is going to absolutely smash.
Maybe a Mixon prop in there too, then.
Yeah, depending on what he's listed at. Like a multiple touchdown, like 2 or more touchdowns could be something that's lucrative. Cause why wouldn't they just keep feeding him the ball, and get him going. So we'll have to wait and see what the rushing prop looks like. But, like I said, a 2 touchdown, sometimes like FanDuel runs the first touchdown insurance or a touchdown insurance, where if you don't pick the guy to get the first touchdown, but he scores later, you get your money back. I mean, there's a lot of different ways you can probably use Joe Mixon in prop bets this week.
I like that you singled him out, especially right now when you've got all these big money, big name backs who are down, right? McCaffrey, Henry, yeah. Cook, Kamara.
The whole first round of fantasy drafts are pretty much down and out.
Right? right. I'm feeling the pain just like a million other fantasy players. Well, here's Mixon. This is via StatMuse. 4th in total yards, 2nd in total touchdowns, career high yards per game, career high touchdowns, scored in 8 straight. Pretty good stuff from Joe Mixon.
Yeah, I mean, this is the perfect storm of him playing well and coming up against a terrible run defense. This should be a huge week for him, or another solid week for him, for sure.
So maybe this is your answer to my next question. I always ask this before we move on. Is there a bet you feel especially confident in heading into week 13? It can be from the games we mentioned, but it can also be from something else.
I have the 49ers -3 against Seattle. I think that line's definitely going to move. Seattle does not look good at all. They didn't look good the other night. They haven't looked good all season with Russell Wilson, without Russell Wilson. This is a team that has a lot of trouble scoring on drives. And, one of the things I've been doing with Seattle is I've been betting live on their punts every drive. I mean, they punt the ball so often. It's actually been a pretty lucrative endeavor. But
you bet that punt will be the end result of each individual drive?
Of their drive, yeah.
What kind of odds you get on that?
It depends. Sometimes it's like -110, depending on where they start the field. But it's usually, -110 or +110, depending on where they are, on the first play. But, this is a team that punts the ball 2/3 of the time on their opening drive. They run the ball a lot on the early downs and aren't very good at it. So it just also causes some trouble for them. So much like Pittsburgh, I'm not a big believer in Seattle right now. I know San Francisco has some concerns of their own. Deebo Samuel is out. They have some other injuries. But this Seattle offense should not scare anybody. And I think it's going to be very difficult for them to even get 10 points on the board, let alone, be able to outscore another team. They're going to have to prove it to me before I move off this line of thinking. So I have San Francisco -3. It's an expensive -3, though. I think I paid like -130 for it, maybe -120, somewhere thereabouts. But to me, it was worth it because I think now it's like 3.5, maybe.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. We're recording this Tuesday afternoon. FanDuel's got him 3.5. Would you still take it?
Yeah. Not 3.5. I actually meant to take it 2.5 during the Washington game, but I fell asleep. And when I woke up, it was already -3, expensive -3.5, I should say. And then there was one expensive 3 that was left, and I took the plunge. But 3 would probably be my limit. at that point, I probably just play the money line on San Francisco, you know, just to cover all bases at that point.
Okay. All right. But that would still be some variation of that, be it the money line, or if you can get it, the three, that's your bet of the week kind of.
Yeah. I don't think Seattle is going to do any, I mean, I would not worry about Seattle right now at all. I don't even think that I would even wait to see what the team total is. I think the team total this week against Washington was like in the 20s, which is, you know, incredible. So I'm curious to see where it opens up this week. If it opens up in the 20s again, I'm probably definitely on the under, barring something significant. They just can't move the ball. They can't, you know, they're punting almost all the, not all the time, but they're punting more than half the time. They really only have, you only get what, 10 drives in a game. They're punting on five of them. I mean, they only have five other drives to really make something happen. It's just not enough, I don't think, in the NFL. So, you know, if even one or two of those are field goals, they're already, you know, toast on that under.
Good intel. Neil, let's do long shot or lock. Real simple. I'm going to give you a bet I'm thinking about making. I'll tell you why I like it. And then I want you to tell me if it is a long shot or lock. That work for you?
Sure.
All right. This week, I'm taking another two team 6-point teaser. Listeners know I love these. Getting it at minus 120 on DraftKings. First up, I like the Cardinals over the Bears. They're laying 8 points. So with the teaser, I'm getting them at -2. That means we're moving through the 7 and 3 important numbers. Also, I just think the Cards are way, way better than the Bears. They're the 4th-ranked team in overall DVOA. The Bears are 25th. The Bears also just barely beat the Lions. Also, Chicago gets a little extra rest because they played Thursday. However, that's negated because the Cards were on a bye. As for the second leg of this, back on the Washington bandwagon, what can I say? Probably like a sucker. I'm moving Washington from +2.5 against the Raiders to +8.5. So again, we're moving through the 3 and 7. Honestly, I'm not positive the WFTs win this one, but I do think they keep it close, especially with this ball control offense they've been running. They're ranked 21st in overall DVOA. Raiders are 20th, so it's just one spot better. Also, I'll mention for both of these teams, Washington and Arizona, they're playing on the road. Home teams are 77-101-1 against the spread this season, which is on pace to be the worst ATS mark in the entire Super Bowl era. That's according to Dave Purdom. I pulled it out of his last column. So, Neil, that's what I've got. Two teams, 6-point tees, Arizona -2, WFT +8.5. Be real with me. I can take it. You can be as harsh as you want. Is this a long shot or lock?
I think it's a lock because you're moving through the key numbers. You're going to get Arizona down. We just talked about why Washington might be able to pull this win outright. So, you know, getting the 8.5 points, you know, over a touchdown probably would be enough. I'm just wondering if you have to even use these in a teaser. You know, you just talked about the home teams, how bad they are against the spread. You know, maybe you don't necessarily need Arizona to be that low. Maybe there's a parlay to be done with the Washington money line that maybe gives you a little bit more lucrative odds. You know, if you felt like if you felt like Washington could actually win the game outright. You know, I think it's the Arizona one that's tripping me up. When I'm building a teaser, I look for a home favorite that's between 7.5 to 9 point favorite to tease down, or an underdog that's 1 to 2.5 points to tease up. And generally, I want this to be in a game that has like 49 points or less. The Arizona game is right on the cusp there.
Yeah.
So I'm just wondering if there's, you know, other ways that you can kind of maximize this value with those two teams. You know, still get the storyline that you want, which is, you know, Washington very competitive, if not wins outright. You know, Arizona continues to be, you know, the cream of the NFC, does their thing. You know, even at -2, they're going to have to win by a field goal anyway. You know, it's a key number, most likely result. You know, I'm just wondering if, you know, maybe there's another way you can get a little bit more than -120. You know, considering the risk that you're going to have there. It's my own personal opinion. I think that has got a very good chance of cashing. I just think that maybe, you know, based on the risk profile, maybe you can get plus odds if you're a little bit creative with Washington and Arizona both in like a parlay.
That's a good catch there, man. Cause I was fudging the long teaser on the Arizona leg of that a little bit. So, so right on, Neil, good catch, but, I'll take the lock, at least the conditional lock. I like it, man. Thank you very much. You're killing this interview. You want to wrap this up with some semi, I love this great intel. You want to wrap this up with some semi quick hitters?
Sure. I like the Jaguars. I took plus 14.5. That was an expensive 14.5. The Rams, you know, maybe they're really good. Maybe they're not, you know, maybe the Jaguars really are terrible, but you know, it's the NFL. Like we've seen stranger things. We thought the Chicago Bears would waltz over the Ravens without Lamar Jackson. Certainly didn't end up that way. I think two touchdowns are very difficult. You know, you just talked about, you know, the home teams and, you know, especially two touchdowns in today's NFL could be a little bit more difficult to come by. I like Jacksonville plus 14.5. And right before the COVID news, like right as the COVID news was hitting, I parlayed Saints plus 6 and the under 48 in that Dallas Saints game. The number hasn't moved. The total hasn't moved at all, but the number sure has. The number is now, I think it's Saints plus 4. But I think that, you know, that type of uncertainty for Dallas, especially, you know, maybe that tilts it a little bit more in the Saints' favor. Now, the Saints haven't been playing very good football at all. I'm not sure I would even, you know, count on that offense to do much. But again, I mean, Dallas doesn't have a lot of its coaching staff, including its head coach, Ezekiel Elliott. You know, 2 days ago, we thought maybe he was going to get some rest. Jerry Jones today said he's going to get like the biggest workload we've ever seen in the history of running backs. You know, I mean, Tony Pollard's probably the better guy anyway. And, you know, if you could keep him on the shelf longer and go with Elliott, you know, maybe that also helps the Saints. So I did take the Saints plus 6 and in that parlay. But, you know, the under I'm interested in because, like I said, if, you know, Cooper was let back into the facility with a cough, you know, after coming off the COVID list. That doesn't strike me as a good use of COVID protocol. So maybe that develops into something. I mean, you know, there just seems like a lot of uncertainty in this game. So for me, I'm going to try to take advantage of it and go with the under.
I like that. Looks like we might get Taysom Hill starting for the Saints too in this one.
That's a whole other wrinkle, right? I mean, he could do a lot of things, you know, out of the backfield, run with the ball, obviously pass the ball. So I know they're not going to have Kamara, but, you know, Taysom Hill certainly gives them the defense something to think about way more than, you know, just as a pocket passer. I mean, that does change the complexity of what they need to do. You know, I'm rolling the dice on this. I have, you know, nothing else other than there's a lot of uncertainty on Dallas's side. So maybe that helps the situation. But that is something that I got going right now.
By the way, that was awesome. You just gave us a bunch of more like great picks off the cuff. I mean, I have some extra quick hitting, very random questions for you.
Oh, here I am hijacking the show. And I thought like, okay.
Hey man, I'm just worried about your time. You're making the show better. I appreciate it, Neil. Few for you, and then I'll get you out of here. Especially being a sports analytics guy, how in the world do you cover as many sports as you do? Because you, if I'm not mistaken, you cover every pro sport plus college football and basketball. Is that right?
Yeah, and horse racing.
How do you do all that?
It's a lot. I will say like the condensed game versions of stuff has been really helpful. That's really helpful to be able to watch, you know, like a hockey game in 10 minutes, you know, and kind of get up to speed. And, you know, my ears and eyes are always open. Like I'm always just digesting information, filtering information. You know, I guess I'm just blessed in that regard that I'm able to deal with that type of you know, information and be able to distill it in a way that still comes out as English.
And NFL wise, you're still picking every single game. So I, in preparation for this, a lot of time, you know, I'll dig up all kinds of stuff, whatever. And I was listening to a podcast you did. It was, I want to say it was 2018. It was the very good Rufus Peabody, Jeff Ma podcast. And you were like, yeah, when, you know, more places legalize gambling, maybe I won't have to pick every NFL game anymore, but here we are. Clearly that didn't happen.
No, it's a fool's errand. I mean, like, if you look at my record against the spread with all the picks, it's not that great. I mean, it's very difficult. Look, they don't build billion-dollar pyramids in the desert because they're wrong all that often, right? So to pick a, you know, every game against the spread, it's hard. But the best bets have been doing good. Like the bets that I isolate has been doing good. I took a lot of flack last week for picking the Jets and the Washington football team, but you know, again, they both panned out. And but yeah, I mean, it's people, you know, look, people want more picks, not less. And you know, to at least give my opinion on every game, you know, it's a little harrowing, but you know, that's what people want. And but again, I mean, I think betting that way is just not the way to go. I think the way that we're doing it, like talking about a game, talking it through, you know, trying to tease out a storyline, I would say, you know, that same concept holds for like these single game parlays. Like I see a lot of people, you know, just throwing ideas into a single game parlay, hoping it'll hit. But I think that, you know, you got to think about it. Like you have to, you know, methodically think about it. Like, could this, you know, especially in the risk-free ones where they say like, you know, wager $10, but doesn't hit you, or win or lose, you get your $10 back. I mean, you know, that's the time to be bold. And you know, to go back to like Joe Mixon, be a perfect example. Like, you know, for him to have a huge game, like over 100 yards, you know, two touchdowns. I mean, like a single game parlay like that, you know, where Joe Burrow also doesn't have to throw as much. So maybe his passing yardage is lower. You know, to put something like that together, it could be a lot more lucrative than just saying, well, you know, this player is going to have five receptions and then this player might go over 25 yards and this player is going to have a longest of 30 yards. I mean, so I just try to, you know, figure out that, you know, what storyline is possible and then take a shot. I mean, it doesn't always work, obviously, but, you know, I've had much better success that way than I have just trying to hodgepodge, you know, a bunch of little bits together and hope it all sticks.
Your bio, both on Twitter and on the post site, says you prefer to be called a geek rather right. than a nerd. But for the record, yeah. I think you're very cool. I wouldn't call you either. but why is it that you prefer to be called a geek rather than a nerd?
Because I found this Venn diagram a while back, and it's and the nerd is at the intersection of like having a high intelligence but like no social graces.
Mm.
And you know, you and I are talking, we're having a conversation, we're having fun. I mean,
you're very social.
Puts me squarely in the geek category. Like, you know, being obsessed about something but having some intelligence about it, that's where the geek intersected. So yeah, I'm very I'm very hyper vigilant on that, and you'd be surprised how many people get it wrong.
Yeah, okay, all right, very nice. I'd been wondering that one for a while, actually, if you want to know the truth, so I'm glad you cleared it up. Not to alienate non-local listeners with this one, but any thoughts on the legal sports betting options we have here in the DMV? It's now up and running in DC and Virginia and on its way to Maryland.
Yeah, I mean, I think by and large, it's really good. I mean, we have a lot of different options. You know, price shopping, I think, is critical in sports betting, especially with futures. I mean, you look at, you know, some of the futures that we talked about earlier. I mean, you know, the Patriots could be 10-1 at one book, 8-1 at another book. I mean, it's pretty clear, you know, which one you want to put your money down on. So having that type of, you know, having those options, having that type of competition, I think is very healthy. I think the bonuses and the profit boosts and all that other stuff that they offer can be really lucrative. So I enjoy that part of it. I don't get to participate in many now, but I do think that it's good that we have them for people that can participate.
They flagged you. I imagine that's why you can't.
Yeah, I am heavily limited at a lot of the sports books. There's some that I can't even bet a dollar on a parlay. There's some where I try to make a bet and they let me have 30 cents of the bet. So it's, yeah. But I mean, you know, for the public at large, I think it's great. I mean, I think it's great that, you know, you're able to shop around and you have to. I mean, I know a lot of people don't like to have like multiple sports books and money at each one, but, you know, I mean, it can make a huge difference to be able to get like -3 for, you know, -1, you know, we'll use San Francisco as an example. To be able to get San Francisco -3 at -115 versus -3 130, I mean, that's a huge difference, right? I mean, even if you're not betting a lot of money over time, that's going to be a huge difference. Sure. You know, we talked about the futures betting, right? I mean, the odds are wildly different. I was able to get like Arizona to win the men's basketball NCAA at like, 100 to 1, but some other books had like 50 to 1. I mean, that's immense difference. Even the teasers, right? You can go, not all sports books offer the two team 6-point teasers at -120. There's some that are -134. That's another big difference. I mean,
FanDuel's, you know, -134, DraftKings -120. Yeah.
Right. So the -120, you know, is a huge upgrade in terms of your overall return. So I think that, you know, having more options is certainly better. And I tell you, you know, Maryland, once these sports books starts to open, I mean, the bonuses and like the free money that you get, like, you know, if Bradley Beal touches the basketball one time, you know, +100, like, you know, you got to take advantage of all that stuff because it's literally free money. Like, they're just giving you money. So, you know, you need to be aware of it. You need to be able to take advantage of all that stuff.
Last one I have for you. I know you're a baseball guy, and like we talked about, we're based in DC. What do you think of Scherzer to the Mets?
I was born and raised in Queens, New York, about 15 minutes outside of Shea Stadium.
Yeah.
So, I'm very familiar with the Mets organization. I think it's a great pickup for New York. I mean, it gives them another top of the rotation guy, a 1-2 punch with Jacob DeGrom. That's going to be tough for anybody to match. And I do believe, you know, having these top pitchers at the top of the rotation are key. I go back to, you know, like the 1990s with the Atlanta Braves, when they had, you know, Maddox, Glavine, and Smoltz. You know, you're not going to lose many series that way. And that's really the key to baseball, right? I mean, you're going to lose games, but if you win series, that's going to get you the wins that you need to win the division, to compete well, you know, get good seeding in the playoffs and what have you. So, you know, being able to throw out DeGrom and Scherzer, there's not going to be many games that those two are going to lose, you know, singly, let alone back to back. So it reduces losing streaks. It reduces the amount of series that you lose. I think it's great for the Mets. They're finally flexing that, you know, New York monetary muscle that they just haven't been able to do under previous ownership in the past couple of years. It could be a real turning point for the organization. My only concern is, you know, Max Scherzer is going to be, what, 38 years old. I mean, yeah. You know, in baseball terms, that's old. You know, I know he's still got it. Trust me, I'd love to be 38 again. I think, you know, but at some point, like we've seen it before, these players with the drop off, they drop off hard and fast. But I do think that at least for the short term, first year or two could be great for New York.
That was going to be my follow-up. I'm a Max guy, you know, because I'm a Nationals fan. Love, love, love him. Can do no wrong. Paying him, it's going to be like $43 million at age 40 is a scary proposition. Although I agree. I mean, that's going to be a nasty rotation here.
Yeah. I mean, it's for 3 years, right? And the Mets have the money. Like, there's no doubt they have the money. The cost of living in New York is obviously higher than almost any other place on the planet. So, you know, you have to give him more money. So, you know, I think that, you know, it made sense for New York, obviously for Scherzer to maximize his late career, you know, works out for him. You know, hopefully it works out, you know, for the Mets. And, you know, this last year was a bust, but, you know, this upcoming year, you know, maybe they finally win the division again.
Neil, everything I got for you, anything I'm missing, anything you want to add?
No, we touched on a lot of stuff. I think it's going to be a decent betting week. We'll see what happens. We'll talk about it again on Tuesday.
I'm feeling good. I really like some of it. I'm absolutely tailing you on a bunch of that stuff you brought with you today. So very nice work. Neil Greenberg, staff writer on the sports analytics beat for the Washington Post, a geek, not a nerd. Better get it right out there, people. Thanks for coming on, man. Great job. Really enjoyed it.
Thanks for having me. Good luck this weekend.
All right. A few stats we didn't get to from Sam Monson of PFF. Matt Stafford now has a PFF grade of 39.5 under pressure this season. That's worse than Trevor Lawrence. Really, really bad. Speaking of Jacksonville, Urban Meyer has 9 losses with the Jags this season in 7 years at Ohio State. 9 losses total. Last one from ESPN. Gronk just had his 30th career game with 100 receiving yards. That's the second most 100-yard receiving games by a tight end in NFL history. And it is just one shy of Tony Gonzalez for best all time. So something to keep an eye on. That'll do it, ladies and gents. Episode 17 in the books. Thanks for rating, subscribing, and reviewing. Find us on IG at Rambling and Gambling. And email me, ramblingandgamblingpodcast@gmail.com. Be back with another episode Wednesday. As always, happy Hanukkah to my fellow revelers. Have a great week.